Acts 2:38, I'll go out on a limb and say almost everyone in here can quote it word for word. But I want to ask you, Acts 2:38, the end of a process or the very beginning of a process? Put yourself in the shoes of those first Christians who were baptized. We're standing there together and we're looking at each other and we ask, now what? There are hundreds, if not thousands of us. The Lord's church has been established. Now what? What do we do? Can you see the need for leadership? Can you see the need for scriptural, organized leadership? So by way of an invitation, I just want to list four specific functions of the Lord's church. Same four functions when it was established, same four functions tonight. It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. Number one, the perfecting of the saints. That is edification. Ephesians tells us about it in Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And then it tells us how to do it in love. The edification of the saints, that is growing up, becoming mature. The original Greek word literally means become men. Be mature in what you do. The results of being edified. What can we expect if we become mature Christians? We know we can be strengthened. We know we can be strengthened spiritually and morally. We know that we can become more active in the Lord's church. We also know that we can be prepared for when Satan tempts us, because he's coming, is he not? We can be prepared. We also can remain faithful, and we can care for one another. Number two, benevolence. Doing good works. Not just going out to somebody and inspecting them to see what their condition is, but also being willing to assist those people when they are in need. Active service. How long did it take for the Lord's church to find, for us to find an example of benevolence? Well, I started with Acts 2:38. We go all the way down to Acts 2:45. Seven verses. The new Christians sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Edification, benevolence, evangelism. Will not a mature, edified Christian, when he or she is out evangelizing, won't a mature Christian teach? Will not a mature Christian who is out doing good works also teach at the same time? They are intertwined actions. They go hand in hand. And of course, we are commanded, go therefore and make disciples of what? All nations, that is all people. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we have the example. The early church sent people out to do exactly that, right? And they were extremely successful. So, four scriptural functions of the Lord's church: edification of the saints, benevolence, good works, evangelism, and number four, worship, which is what we are doing right now, correct? And there is a correct scriptural way to worship. There's a right way, and then there's every other way. Scriptural function of the Lord's church. True worship is defined in the New Testament. There's no worshiping of idols. There's no worshiping of images. We're told to worship in truth. That is, we do exactly what God authorizes and not anything else. And we also worship in spirit. That is, we worship with humility, we worship with reverence, we worship with love, and we worship with devotion.
And there are five scriptural elements to true worship. I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb to say this is a singing congregation, right? And I'm not going too far out on a limb to say that this is a prayerful congregation. This congregation observes the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. This is a giving congregation. Those are the first four elements. Scriptural worship. Number five, what we're doing this very moment, scriptural teaching. That is what we're told to do, to worship in the New Testament. The Lord's church is to be the Lord's church, correct? Amen. It doesn't belong to anyone else. He sets the rules and he sets the boundaries. In the Lord's church, we perfect the saints, we work, we minister, we participate in acts of benevolence, we participate in evangelism, and we participate in true worship. Now, I'll ask you, how much work was there to do for those first saints in Acts chapter 2? Just getting started in the Lord's church, but how much work is there for us to do? Any less? If we carry out these four elements of the Lord's church, the work never ends, does it? We always have something to do, a never-ending amount of work in meeting the will of God. And we do this work until one of two things happens. Either until that day when I or you leave this earth, or that day that Christ returns, whichever comes first. But the question, either way, is, am I prepared for that day? Am I prepared for the day I leave this earth? Or, Lord willing, if Christ returns before that day, am I ready for that day? Having heard and believed what Christ had to say through his Father, being willing to repent, living for God's will and not my own, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, having my sins washed away in immersion, and at the same time doing exactly what those first Christians did, entering into the spiritual body of Christ, his church, and then being willing to live a life faithful to God's word. Tonight, if you be subject to this invitation, I invite you to come forward at this time as we stand and we sing.